Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am your host, Andrew, and I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing some of the most recent news. Planned for WrestleMania 27 main event now is Triple H versus Taker. Now, I know that we said that the promos, they're going to be about Undertaker. And I said, you know what? I think it's going to be with Triple H. You know what? In a way, I was kind of right. It wasn't Triple H, but he came out, ruined the promo. So what do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, and I mean, let's save that for Raw. But do you think that this would be the second year in a row that we haven't had the world title or the WWE title be the main event match? Right now they're saying Triple H versus Undertaker, a match that happened 10 years ago at WrestleMania 17, is going to be the main event for WrestleMania 27. What do you think? Do you like that? Well, as being the main event?
They did it once before. It was an okay match. I think Triple H is going to end Undertaker's streak. I don't know why, but I just have a feeling that's what this is all about. Triple H basically just taking care of Undertaker's streak. Because then he'd be 18-1. So that's what I think they're going to do. Anyways.
Well, it might. Who knows?
That's true.
Who knows?
So this is big news, I think. WWE cancels the Best of Raw Seasons 3 and 4. What? Why do they do this?
Apparently, Best of Raw Season 1 and 2 had pretty low, had a really low buy rate. I mean, it just didn't move enough units. And so they had to, unfortunately, cancel 3 and 4, which, you know, in a way really sucks because there's a lot of people out there that would like to have them. And when you put out more, I mean, when you put out the Best of Raw Season 3 and 4, you're going to get people to buy 1 and 2 because they'll want to know what happened then. But also, you got to think, okay, well, Best of Raw Season 1 and 2, this took place in, what, 92, 93? Well, I didn't start watching wrestling until 94, so I want to see the Best Raw 94. And I don't think that they're thinking like that. Because I know that, like, we talked about the Nitro DVD. It's going to be Season 1 and 2. But you know what? We're not going to watch it till probably Season 3 and 4, because that's when we got into it.
Right. No, and I think this is a bad move on the WWE's part. I mean, they may put it on their channel when the WWE actually does their channel, but I don't know. I think this is a bad move on their part. I mean, they could have done it. Just they didn't have to put it on Blu-ray or anything. They could have just done a cheap DVD, called it a day. I mean, I thought seasons 1 and 2 that they put out, I actually watched them all, and I thought it was pretty neat. It was kind of neat for nostalgia value, and I think some people just getting into wrestling wouldn't mind, you know, looking at that stuff. But I'm wondering if it's almost because there's mistakes. You know what I mean? Like mistakes like that they now are doing. Certain feuds that are very similar to what they did on certain other seasons. So,
well, I don't know if that would – I don't know necessarily. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I think your point is incredibly valid. But I think that maybe it might not be for right now, but maybe Best of Raw Season 7 and 8, it might be like that. It might be, oh, you know what? This is Kane versus Taker. Do we need to have that in there? Or, you know, we have Mr. Ass, you know, do we need to have him there? Cause you gotta think about that stuff, you know? And if you put out 1 and 2, maybe 3 and 4 is a little more risque and you can't do it. So
that's true.
Knows?
So, backstage heat on the Pope. What did he do this time?
They're just saying that he's rubbing people the wrong way and his matches haven't been nearly as good as what they should be. I don't know. Do you like? I mean, the Pope is he's a pretty good wrestler, pretty good entertainer, and he's got some heat on him because he might be thinking that he's larger than his character. Do you think that the Pope needs to settle down a little?
I think he does. I mean, why did he leave the WWE anyways? I think they just released him, or did he want to release?
They released him. I believe it was money related, but I'm not positive. But they ended up releasing him, and I think he's getting a very, very fresh start over in TNA. So I'm happy. I'm happy for that. But you can't overdo it. You rub people the wrong way, and guess what? You're not going to be there much longer.
That's
no
true.
Wrestler is above the company. No wrestler.
Well, Hogan at one point was. Anyway, so let's move on to the pay-per-view Elimination Chamber, which I got to say was not a bad pay-per-view. That was really good. Edge started out the match with Rey Mysterio, and he ended up finishing the match with him as well, and he retains his title. Great mm-hmm. match, I thought. And I like the fact that Rey did the Senton Bomb off the cage, off the what do you call it, the chamber, what do you want to call it? The pod,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was really cool. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. I think this was the best match of the night. I thought that it had its ups and downs. I thought that it really just, it started off great, it finished great, and it didn't, I believe it didn't have any, it did what it should do,
mm-hmm.
and it excited the crowd. It made you excited for the pay-per-view. In my opinion, though, it was the best match of the night, and so the rest of the pay-per-view was a letdown.
Well, yeah. I did like the fact that Alberto Del Rio came out and started beating up on Edge because they're going to start a feud. Why not, you know, beat him down right now? Why he had the chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the music hits. The music hits. It's Christian comes back, which I thought was really cool. Beats up Del Rio.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those things where they had the storyline where he injured Christian, and so Christian was coming back to seek revenge on him, which I thought, you know, that's the best way to do it. It's unfortunate because now, you know, it's going to be Edge versus Alberto at WrestleMania, and so Christian is going to have to wait. However, though, this could be a really good thing because Alberto is probably going to win at WrestleMania, and then Christian could start feuding with him, and you could really help elevate not only one superstar but two superstars from this. So if they do it correctly, I think they could. But
I don't think Alberto Del Rio is going to win. I think Edge is going to continue to hold the strap for a while. I just, for some reason,
well, and we'll see. That. We will see. I mean, we will have a WrestleMania prediction show. Mm-hmm. We did it last year where we went over the matches and our predictions for them, and we will be doing that again. It'll be its own special. It won't be you know, one of our weekly shows.
Right. So I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen right now. I already know. It's going to be that Del Rio does win, but with outside interference from Christian. That's what I think is going to happen. So anyway, so the Miz retains. Don't care.
No one's surprised.
Yep. And Cena wins the Elimination Chamber, which I figured was going to happen anyways. And I thought that was a decent match. I actually fell asleep halfway through it. I got to point that out right now. So I missed what John Morrison did. What didn't he do something crazy?
Yeah, they all did some crazy things. I didn't like the whole thing with CM Punk at the beginning. I thought it was really stupid, in my opinion. Yeah,
that's right.
I really didn't. It was just like, oh, malfunctioning pod, so he's going to stay in the match. Like that was just stupid. And nothing against R-Truth, but everybody in that match, you knew he was the first one out. You knew he was going to be the first one eliminated.
They're like, man,
I had no idea that Wade Barrett would have been eliminated first for the SmackDown. I believe he was first.
Yeah, he was
first. I had no idea he was going to be out. I had no idea. I would have not have guessed that. Mm-hmm. But Kofi, yeah, not a surprise. Not a surprise.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, so let's go on to Raw. Cena opens it up and has a weird reaction. A lot of, you know, yeah, a lot of boos. You know, it's kind of weird. But I did like the fact that he kind of brought back the character he was using a long time ago, where he was, you know, doing the Thugonomics and did the rhymes, which I thought was really good. I thought that really, really made Raw good. In fact, I got to tell you something funny about Raw. I actually watched this show live the whole way through. That's what I thought about Raw. So what do you
think?
One
of the things I thought that was really great about this Raw is that when he opened it up, like you said, it was mixed reactions. There were a lot of boos. And then Cena starts talking about how he's got a degree in Thugonomics and he's going to blast The Rock. And his rhymes were pretty funny. The one thing I was really surprised about were the things that he was saying, because they were borderline, I would say NC-17.
PG, you know? It should have been PG-14 almost.
Well, TV-14, yeah. But
my bad, PG. Yeah, TV-14.
It was pretty crazy. I liked it, though. I actually was digging it. And then, of course, nothing happened from that point until Undertaker came out.
Yep.
And of course, what happened? But Triple H had to come out to steal the spotlight from him.
Yeah, he was all out there. I think he just got into the ring, and then all of a sudden, ding, time to play the game. And he did his whole thing, went out there, did the water bottle throw, did the spurts, of course, went up to the top rope on the each side. And I just thought that was crap. I mean, you don't do
that. Here's my question for you.
Okay.
That whole time, there was no talking. All they did was look at the WrestleMania sign, and they just kept looking up at it, and the camera had to get the angle correctly to be like, okay, look, we got to get this so that way we can use it in the promo.
Yep.
Undertaker versus Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think?
I mean, they planned it. I thought there could have been better ways of planning this, but, you know, it's the WWE. They always do the weird stuff. But, you know, it's good to have Triple H back and stuff, so... Anyway, so.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It is good to have him back. The one thing, though, that is kind of, you know, I'm wondering what's going on is that the, you know, Triple H left because of Sheamus.
Right.
And Undertaker left because of Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
So what is going on there? I mean, they're just ending those feuds. I mean, don't they come back to have the feud to get revenge on them?
Exactly. And that's why they're probably going to stop the Best of Raw, because they're going to realize, hey, you know, stuff's going on. So, anyways, so speaking of Sheamus, he is getting pushed down, and it looks like he's in a feud with Daniel Bryan next. I thought the way this happened was really weird, but it looks like Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus at WrestleMania, I think.
Do you think that this will be a good match?
Daniel Bryan can work with anyone, and I think that he can work with Sheamus and make Sheamus look good. That's the point of it. So Daniel Bryan will definitely lose, because I'm sorry, but Sheamus will not tap out. Not tap out. I can almost guarantee it. It's going to be crap.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll talk about that more if that does come to fruition. I would love to go in depth with that. However, though, the one thing I would like to ask you about is the King. He challenged Cole for a match at WrestleMania. Do you think that they will wrestle?
They won't wrestle, but they'll do some type of gimmick match. Like one arm behind the shoulder strap or something. They'll do something really weird where, like, Cole will think, hey, I have one up on him, or like a debate or some crap like that. But that's what I think will happen. I mean, Cole, I mean, he's been taking the rumor was that he was taking bumps preparing for a match. Maybe that's what's going on. We don't know.
The thing is, these things sound good in theory. However, though, when they actually are implemented, they suck. They just do.
Mm-hmm.
I think of McMahon versus Bret Hart last year.
Oh, gosh.
That was a boring, boring, boring match. It was a huge letdown.
Mm-hmm.
It sucked. It sucked. So I hope that – and the thing is, McMahon is he's a pretty good wrestler too. He is. He's a pretty good wrestler. But
yeah,
Michael Cole is anything but a wrestler, okay? And then after this, if Michael Cole and the King are your announcer and color commentator – what are you going to do? They had a match, and now that apparently they can sit there at Raw and be buddy-buddy. That
right.
Makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. That is so stupid. And I'm not thinking about this as a mark or smark. I'm thinking about this as somebody who is watching this as a soap opera, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, they had a match. How are they able to sit there? That makes no sense to me. You know? What are you going to do now?
That's why I think something's going to happen at Backlash, that they'll have a match at WrestleMania, but they'll have one at Backlash as well. That's what I think will happen, at least. That's just my opinion, because you can end it at Backlash, and then they can start announcing together. Then you'll be like, oh, everything's okay. Like, you know, Dan O'Brien and Michael Cole don't have any heat. Come on. He's talking good about them. That really makes me mad, because they had a lot of heat. That was a great feud, and then, yeah. Anyways, so we need to talk about the tag titles. So the tag titles... The Miz won the match. So him and Cena, they are the tag champs. Then all of a sudden, the anonymous Raw GM, Triple H, decided that to ring the bell. So they started the match again. So then they had a second match. So this might be potentially the third time the tag titles change hands, which is crap, I think. And what happens? The Miz goes ahead and takes out... John Cena, and bam, tag champs are the core again. I'm sorry. Nexus. Oh, yeah, it is the core. My bad.
It was the core. Yeah. No, okay, so here's the question I have to ask for you. what did the title change from having the core win it last night and then losing it to John Cena and The Miz? What, and then having them lose it immediately? They were tag champs for 10 minutes, maybe? Mm-hmm. What was the point in that? Like, what did that do to add heat to anybody?
I think it was just to prove that The Miz can do it. He can wrestle and he can win a title without the help of John Cena, which is basically what happened. And I think that's the whole point of it. But that, other than that, I thought it was kind of stupid. Dude, they were going at a right direction for Raw, and then they went to a horrible direction all of a sudden.
Here's something that needs to be said, though, that I think it really not only it relates to this, but relates to SmackDown last week with Dolph Ziggler winning the title for, 10 minutes. And it's this. The record book from now on will always show that Dolph Ziggler was the world heavyweight champion for 10 minutes. It will always show that the tag titles changed hands 3 times in 2 nights. It makes those titles really, really stupid.
Yeah.
In all honesty, it does.
You mean the penny titles?
The pennies are kind of stupid now.
Yeah.
And it really is. It does not lend them credibility by having them change. And don't get me wrong. I understand having the titles change hands, especially lower titles change hands more frequently. Mm-hmm. You should do that. But when you do it in such a way that makes them meaningless, if they get passed around,
like the hardcore title,
the hardcore title, and that was the lowest title. It was the lowest title for a reason. It was a joke title at the end of the day.
That's right.
So it makes me, it honestly infuriates me because I don't think that they understand that this is going to be in the record book. No matter what, you do something like this, it's in the record book. No matter what you do.
So, yeah.
Anyway, so let's move on to SmackDown because I am so upset about that whole thing. So, well, Dusty Rhodes and Cody Rhodes come out and they attack Rey Mysterio after Dusty said to Cody, "You need to shake his hand. You need to let bygones be bygones." And then they go and they stab him in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like this segment? Did you like this whole thing they got going on?
I do like what they're doing with Cody Rhodes. It's basically the pretty boy gimmick, kind of like the Rick Martel back in the day. But they're taking it to the next level. And I don't know why, but I just every time he comes in, he starts talking, he wears that mask. I just start laughing. I'm sorry. But it's like he broke my nose. What is he? Yeah, he broke his nose, right? Because of the 619. Oh yeah, it was because of the 619 because he exposed the knee brace and Ray did that on purpose, quote unquote.
Yeah,
but I thought that was kind of funny. And, Dusty came back. It's nice to see him. He doesn't look that bad. So Jack Swagger finally gets a win.
He was in the WWE doghouse that we reported on, and then he actually got a win against Kofi of all people. Mm-hmm. So. I was a little surprised by it, but Kofi's still in his injury. Do you think that Swagger's even going to have a match at WrestleMania?
I think he'll be in the. I think they'll do a Money in the Bank, and I think if they do, he'll be in it. That's what I think, at least. I mean, it to me, it just makes sense if he was in it. That's just that's the thing. I mean, you have to do the Money in the Bank. You got to put Jack Swagger in there. He is a former champion. Put him in there. Mm-hmm. So the Big Show and Wade Barrett are continuing their feud, of course. That's right. Because Big Show beat the crap out of him in Elimination Chamber.
But before that, the core was attacking Big Show, and it looks to be that there's going to be Wade Barrett versus Big Show at WrestleMania. And it seems, I think that what we reported on a couple weeks ago with the planned WrestleMania, card. I really do think it will be Nexus versus Core for the tag titles. It seems like it's going that way. The only ones that really I'm looking at that we were kind of far off on were Triple H versus Sheamus. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Triple H Taker, obviously. And Undertaker versus Wade Barrett? No, it's going to be Wade Barrett versus Big Show instead.
I'm wondering why they changed that, though. That doesn't make sense to me. Why change something like that?
The Triple H Sheamus thing really confuses me. I mean, it does. Like, why would Triple H come back to face Taker? And the storyline is going to be, you retired my friend, and I decided not to get revenge the day after WrestleMania last year, I decided to wait a full year to get revenge. That's what I decided to do.
That's why they're not putting out those best of DVDs, dude. I'm just going back to that every time. It's because they're not putting out the best of DVDs, so now they have to do this.
You know what? And the funny thing is, you say things like that, and I think, you know, you're kind of a little far-fetched, but you said the Triple H thing, all right? And if any of our listeners have been listening to this for a long time, last year he correctly predicted that Swagger was going to win. In fact, you predicted, I want to say it was like 9 out of 10 of the WrestleMania matches.
Yeah, I missed one of them.
You were dead on. So you had it that year. Mm-hmm. So
I think I'm going to have it this year too. So I guess who's not going to be at WrestleMania? Vicky Guerrero. She lost. I'm sorry, she didn't lose, but Edge and Kelly won the match. Because of that, Vicky Guerrero, she lost her job. Thank you, Teddy Long.
Yeah, and she was pleading to Booker T, of all people, to get her job back. It makes no sense. But yeah, she was going crazy. And people, of course, were going crazy. Mm-hmm. They were going crazy that she was going crazy. They were so happy that she lost her job because she is a super heel. She transcends being a heel, which is good, but sometimes she does get a little annoying. The whole mm-hmm. excuse me, her voice is kind of crackly. And I think that if you want a website that's like VickySucks.com, you know where you should get it, Andy?
Go to GoDaddy. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Summer Shake Society, see safe for details. All right, so TNA, we had Tommy Dreamer. He decided to step in and kind of get into the feud with 3D all of a sudden. Gets in the middle of it. Why?
Yeah, they need something for him right now, which Tommy Dreamer, I think, is a really great mid-card or upper mid-card wrestler. I don't think that he will ever be a main eventer. Even in ECW, I didn't think he was a good main eventer, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. However, though, putting him in this area, I think is pretty smart because he's trying to be the mediator. Come on, you guys were the greatest tag team ever. Don't fight. I'm Tommy Dreamer, and my special finisher is the DDT. And, you know,
no, it's called the Dreamer Driver. Don't you remember?
And he has that too, but he always did the DDT anyway.
Yes.
So I don't care for it, and I don't like the Team 3D thing anyway. I really don't. So let's move on to Ric Flair. Last week he comes out as Member of Fortune, and now all of a sudden he jumped ship last week also to become a member of Immortal, and he calls out AJ Styles and he calls him all kinds of names and attacks him, and mm-hmm. and then Hernandez comes out and attacks AJ also. Like, pick a side. You cannot have somebody go from a face to a heel to a face to a heel to a face to a heel that many times in the span of 6 months. You can't do that. It confuses everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Ric Flair and I like TNA and I like AJ Styles. Why are you trying to put this crap down our throats? Why?
What do you think about it? Dude, I hate it. It's so dumb. I, in a way, it's like WCW back in the day. It's like, man, I don't know what we're going to do today. Well, how about we just jump ship a couple of times and then throw some curveballs everywhere? Yeah, everyone will like it because it's wrestling. Yeah, it gets annoying real fast. I mean, I want TNA to be around for at least another 2 years, but come on.
I want them around for a long time because I like having that second wrestling program to go to. And to be honest, SmackDown isn't my second wrestling program. SmackDown is like my sixth. Because I'm sorry, but SmackDown doesn't have anything entertaining going for it. So
yeah, I know.
Now, what did you think of the main event? It was Mr. Anderson defeating Kurt Angle, who was retired apparently, but now he's back. Which, don't get me started on this either, okay? Not, but he takes on and defeats Kurt Angle and RVD.
Yeah.
Did you like the main event?
No. That was
really.
I didn't care for it because every time I look at this, I'm like, you know what? Just thinking if TNA did like a best of for like the month, they'd be repeating feuds. It would just be bad. And that's why, again, that's why the WWE Raw best of DVDs will not get released for season 3 and 4 because of that, because they're repeating feuds from probably those seasons.
I think that TNA doesn't have a plan. And that's sad. I think that they just go week by week. I think it is almost ran like WCW. And that's what really annoys me. I think that they don't have a year-long plan. They don't say, okay, well, this is going to happen. Okay, here's your storyline in January, February, March, April. Blah, blah, blah. They don't have that in place, and that really pisses me off.
You know, I completely agree. I think it's really weird, actually, because when WCW was doing things good, they were actually planning week. You know, basically, they'd have the shows all the way up to the pay-per-view. And yes, if someone got injured, they'd fix it. But I guess now it seems that TNA doesn't even know what they're doing at the next pay-per-view yet. At least that's how I'm taking it, at least. And you should know what you're doing at your pay-per-view. You should know as soon as the one pay-per-view is ended, you should know what you're doing at your next pay-per-view already. That's how it should be set up. I mean, that's why, in all seriousness, I think Ring of Honor, I like their storylines because they continue and they finish them. Sometimes they don't, but I'd say 90% of the time they do. And that's the problem with TNA. They need to continue and finish the feud. And then start over. Then it's almost like you're back to square one. Almost. You just need to remember, okay, he fought him. It's like the whole thing with Sheamus. Like, he lost, but then he ran into Daniel Bryan. He's like, what's your problem? Daniel Bryan, for some reason, is wearing a sport coat. Don't know why. So.
So, anyway, though. So, it looks like we do have a little bit of time.
Oh, geez.
And I had a top five in mind.
Oh, geez. What's your top five?
You know, and we haven't done a top five in a little while. Yep. So I have – mine is the top five best, worst moves. And what these are, it's the top five moves that they get people excited for, that it's a very entertaining move. But at the end of the day, the move itself is really, really stupid. And so my number five move is Kofi's leg drop. You know, when he runs up to the guy and all he does is he just shakes his body a little and then he puts both his legs across your body. And that does absolutely nothing for you. I'm sorry. It doesn't. It does nothing.
My number four,
even though it is a very entertaining move, but the people's elbow. The people's elbow at the end of the day is an elbow drop. And it's not even from the top rope. It's just a normal elbow drop.
Yeah, and you know what? This is why I don't think it's as effective. It's because he doesn't pad the elbow first. You gotta pad it first. And
he takes the elbow. He goes and he takes it. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. But
and he's not, those aren't even real elbow pads. I mean, they're just – there's like – an eighth of an inch of foam on those things.
Exactly. And so my number three is Hogan's leg drop. And it's not like he does a whole lot of it. You know, he doesn't put a whole lot into it. But it is an incredibly, incredibly weak move.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is the five-knuckle shuffle. Because all it is a punch to the face. He just goes and looks at the guy. You can't see me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he punches him in the face. It is dumb.
And he usually misses.
Yes. And I do have. I did want to say, and I hate to do this, but I did have two honorable mentions before I get to number one. And they are the Swanton Bomb, because it is stupid. You hit the guy with the back of your head. It does nothing. It just looks cool. And my other honorable mention is MVP's Ballin, because that. That is also just an elbow drop. So, no, but the number one best worst move has to be the worm.
Yes, I completely agree.
Has to be the worm. Because at the end of the day, he slaps you across the chest after doing the worm.
W-O-R-M. Has he ever won a match with that?
Yes, he would win matches by doing the worm.
Oh, jeez.
That's what made it so stupid. It made no sense. So, but those are my best worst moves, top five, with a couple honorable mentions. There are a lot of other worst moves out there. The Cobra, I didn't think was as bad, so I didn't want to put it in there. So.
Unbelievable. That's a good one. I'll agree with you on those, actually. And I don't think I'd change them or anything, so. that's all the time we got for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I am AHughes86. Aaron is AP Hughes. I want to thank Section 86 and 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank my co-hosts for coming on each and every week. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.